Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll talk about the biggest story in sports today as Carson Wentz, shocking, Carson Wentz is injured and may miss significant amount of time for the Indianapolis Colts. We'll talk about that coming up in 15 minutes and what that could potentially mean for the Kansas City Chiefs as one of their quote-unquote contenders seems to have fallen from the pack a little bit. But let's start live. Let's start local here on 610 Sports Radio. And Dayton Moore has always struck me as a very honest individual, also a very socially aware individual. Earlier today, he went on Fesco in the Morning and joined Bob and Josh and was asked some pretty pointed questions. I can be honest with you guys. Part of my venom and vitriol towards the Royals right now is I feel hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok when it comes to this season. At the beginning of the year, I was absolutely Hope Harrison. I thought this team had a chance to win 77, 78 games. I looked at the moves they made this offseason. I looked at the way that they carried and conducted themselves. And I thought that we were going to see a new version of the Kansas City Royals. But this is just the old version of the Kansas City Royals. I've spent a lot of my adolescence and early adulthood watching this exact same version of the Kansas City Royals. I do feel lied to. I do feel duped. I feel this season that we all were made and sold to buy into this team, and this was going to be a building block year for the future. That's not how this season has played itself out. So earlier today on Fesco in the Morning, Dayton Moore was asked a very simple but pointed question. After a disappointing 2021 season, how do you sell fans on next year?
Let me say this. I mean, I share the same emotions. I mean, I've been extremely disappointed in our one loss record. And when you look at why and how, I mean, it's easy to pinpoint how this has occurred. But you can't make excuses. At the end of the day, we're paid to win baseball games. But this team, as we entered spring training and left spring training, certainly on paper was a team that we all felt would compete. The baseball world felt that this team would compete, and it speaks to the unpredictability of professional baseball. I mean, there's a lot of teams each and every year that, everybody doesn't expect to do well, and somebody steps up and gets on a run and exceeds expectations. And so, it's my job and our job as an organization, as we all know, is to put players together that want to win for one another, win for our city, and want to play baseball compete through ups and downs, injuries, overcome multiple things. But when I look at our team, I mean, there's not a ton that you're going to need to do, at least on paper. I mean, we're going to do our best to to improve the bullpen and depth in the bullpen. We're going to expect some of our young starters to continue to evolve and get better. We're going to hopefully be able to transition a position player or two into this lineup next year. We're going to get a little bit younger. We're going to have a little more speed on this team, and we're going to expect the veterans like Whit Merrifield and Carlos Santana and Salvador Perez and Hunter Dozier to be better and to stay consistent and to keep things in balance, if you will. I think that it's we're gonna be disciplined with what we do, but we're gonna rely on young players, Josh, that are gonna come up and be better.
That was Dayton Moore earlier today as he was on Fesco in the morning and Bob and Josh, and he was asked the question, after a disappointing 2021 season, how do you sell fans on next season? If you want to listen to the entire podcast, it's there on the 610sports.com website. There has always been this sort of aura of invincibility around Dayton Moore since the World Series. For completely obvious and understandable reasons, Dayton Moore, J.J. Piccolo, Gene Watson, and the rest of the members of their front office did something that almost no one in the history of baseball had ever done. When you think about the financial state of baseball and the great divide between the haves and the have-nots, where the Dodgers seemingly play without rules, the Padres right now seem to play with no rules, our perception of the Yankees and the Red Sox, and then small market clubs like the Royals. The Royals were the one franchise who were capable and able to break through. Tampa Bay got to the World Series, doesn't have a ring to show for it. Minnesota had a fantastic run, doesn't have the ring to show for it. The Oakland Athletics had a great stretch. They made a movie about how good Oakland was. They don't have the hardware or the flag to show for it. So Dayton doing something that no one else in baseball can say that they've done and put their name alongside him has given him almost the ultimate job security. And he should have that level of job security. But I think we're in the midst of starting to see the shift and the transition from Royals fans. Think about it like a pie. At one point, 100% of Royals fans were on the "in Dayton we trust." We knew that we were going to have some lean years, so we're willing to accept the 2018 season. We're willing to accept the 2019 season. And I want to be clear, the 2018 Royals and the 2019 Royals were worse than any team that the Royals put together in the 90s. Think about how bad the 90s was. We spent an entire week on this show celebrating how bad the 90s and the 2000s were. The Royals in 2018 and 2019 were a worse baseball team than any team they put together in the 90s. They were bad years. And Dayton, for the most part, flew under the radar, and I think fans were somewhat accepting because they understood the financial ramifications of going to the World Series and or trading the prospects to do it. Now you fast forward to 2021. I don't want to talk about payroll because you cannot communicate to me that the Royals haven't tried to be good this year. In the midst of a pandemic, in the face of taking financial losses that were unseen to the sport, they went out and traded for Andrew Benintendi. They went out and made a trade for Carlos Santana. When most teams were trying to shed payroll and save money, the Royals did the opposite. The Royals were willing to spend money. This year at the trade deadline, when it came to Danny Duffy, they included money to the Los Angeles Dodgers in hopes of getting a better prospect in return. So the Royals have shown a financial commitment to trying to build back a winner, but the pieces just ain't working when it comes to this team. And I think that has created our first real divide right now. We've got a Team Edward versus Team Jacobs, the Hatfield and the McCoys level of division right now in Royals fans. There are some of you that still are in the "in Dayton we trust" crowd. I can't tell you you're wrong to be in the "in Dayton we trust." You built a championship team the first time. We trust that you're going to do it again. We trust your scouting, your development. We like your draft picks. We like your attention to detail. We think that you're going to turn things around, and Dayton, we trust. But the other side of the coin, the crowd that is saying, maybe it's not going to work this time, the side of Royals fans that is way more apprehensive to buy in this time than it was in 2011, 2012, and 2013, that faction is growing by the day. This year has taken the wind out of a lot of people's sails when it comes to the Kansas City Royals. We won't play it right now, but he was asked a question about Adalberto Mondesi. There was still a vocal crowd in support of Adalberto Mondesi. I would say that was the crowd that I was in when it came to Mondesi. I was absolutely in that group of people that were, hey, look at what he did. We're being a little bit too hard on him because of the early start. Like, there was ways to sort of couch your bets when it came to Adalberto Mondesi. I don't know how you can do that this season. We have played 4 full months of baseball, and we have gotten 1 week from Adalberto Mondesi. Dayton is now going to be in, I would argue, the hardest stage of his job. It's getting you to believe again and buy in again. Early on in Dayton's career, you really didn't have a choice. He was here for the long haul. You understood how broken down the system was and it needed to be rebuilt. And there were some systems in place that simply were not going to work. And it was going to take a miracle to get it built up. The miracle happened. Now you're looking at this team. You're looking at the way the team is built together. And you've been in this relationship now for 15, 16 years. Dayton's got to woo a lot of the fan base again. Right or wrong, a lot of people are falling out of the favor that they once held for Dayton Moore. And I would say right now that the fan base, I don't think it's split down the middle. I don't think it's a 50-50. But I do feel like we've gone from 100% in Dayton Moore we trust to at least right now it's 65-35. It's 70-30. That crowd of, hey, maybe it's not going to work with Dayton. Dayton doesn't draft. Dayton's maybe too emotionally connected and tied to some of these guys in order to really see it through the second time. Hey, maybe Dayton got lucky the first time. That group used to be non-existent. That group is growing by the day when it comes to this. So Dayton is going to have to wear this season and the disappointment because this team is a Dayton Moore creation. Your boss, your owner has given you all the resources you need to field a competitive roster, and you bet on Adalberto Mondesi, Hunter Dozier, and Jorge Soler, and you rolled snake eyes 3 consecutive times past the dice. Now you have to, on the fly, build up this roster, and you got to build back up a little bit of fan equity that they have torn down over the last 5 years by not really showing consistent glimmer of hope. It's one thing to talk about the future. It's one thing to show people the future. And we can admit, regardless of what side of this conversation you're on, the Royals have not done a good job over the last 5 years in showing you glimpses of the future. All they've done is have you live in the past. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about Carson Wentz, who shockingly enough is going to miss significant amounts of time this NFL season. That's coming up next. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio. Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to The Drive.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. We'll talk Chiefs training camp coming up at the bottom of the hour. One rookie is certainly making an impression. We'll talk about him coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Today, the big story in the NFL should come as a shock or a surprise to no one. Carson Wentz is injured once again.
Now, Carson Wentz is going to have surgery to pair his foot today. This is the news coming from Coach Frank Reich just really a couple minutes ago, and closes the book on a saga that really, I would say, was interesting and kind of went back and forth all weekend ever since Carson Wentz suffered that foot injury that took him off the practice field. The options for him, the rest and rehab, though, that's clearly what Carson Wentz originally wanted, to possibly stay on the field. It just was seemed to be prolonging the inevitable. So instead, surgery today. The timetable is really a wide one. It's 5 weeks. That would be the earliest. Seems incredibly early, but theoretically possible, according to Frank Reich, or as much as 12 weeks. And what they are going to do is remove a bone that got dislodged.
So that was the latest from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. Carson Wentz. So they really narrowed it down for you if you were a fantasy football player. Carson Wentz could be out for 5 weeks or 12 weeks. So none of us really know how long Carson Wentz is going to miss this season. Conversation number one. I am officially eliminating the Indianapolis Colts as a legitimate Super Bowl contender. I always thought it was very shaky, Warrior, to consider them to be a Super Bowl contending team, given the fact that Carson Wentz was their starting quarterback who led the NFL in interceptions last season, but now it's out. Binkley has been telling me for the last 3 weeks how he thought the Colts were better than Buffalo and how I was underestimating the Colts. Now, I understand the injury bug bites everybody at some place, but we always knew that that injury bug was going to bite Carson Wentz because it's always bit Carson Wentz. It is officially out. Rob, all I want you to do in this segment, I don't need you to do anything else. I need you to say, Carrington, I now believe that the Tennessee Titans are going to win the AFC South. I don't need you to say anything else. We don't need to hear any of your other thoughts or opinions or words on anything else. I want you to say, I, Rob Brenton, now consider the Tennessee Titans to be a lock for the playoffs. Carrington, you tried to tell me this last week, but I was ignorant. I was foolish. I was stupid. I did not listen to you and your infinite NFL wisdom. How dare I have this opinion as a survivor is right around the corner. I know that you are all knowing. I know that you are my NFL superior. I now denounce the Indianapolis Colts. I acknowledge your vast NFL knowledge, and I am picking the Tennessee Titans to win the AFC South. If you're not prepared to say that statement, don't say anything. If you're not prepared to say that, denounce the Colts and pick up the mantle for the Tennessee Titans, my friend.
Pass. Nope. You know who's a dark horse this year? The Jags got a good quarterback. Keep your eye on the Jags in the AFC South.
Are you going to pick a team, another team, who their best offensive players are running back? That's what you're picking?
Hold on. Trevor Lawrence on the Jags, right?
Yeah, they still got
He's the best
Robinson,
player
right?
on the
Undrafted
Jags.
Undrafted running back? They still got him, right? That's still their best offensive player, and so proven otherwise.
Trevor Lawrence is their best offensive player. End of story.
So you're not ready to pick up the mantle for the Jacksonville or for the Tennessee Titans.
I'm also not quitting on the Colts yet. I'm not quitting on the Colts yet.
You're not quitting on the Colts. Seasons. We don't know who their quarterback is.
Jacob Eason.
It is. Let me look at my watch. It is August 2nd, and you have no clue who their week one starting quarterback is going to be. You're rocking with a team that has Jacob Eason as the starting QB. 5 to 12 weeks. That means Carson Wentz could miss the first month of the season. He could miss the first 3 months of the season. None of us know. And given his track record and his health, it's probably going to be like 14 to 17 weeks. He might be Kevin Durant, just not play this season. Blake Griffin. Carson Wentz is starting to become first team all finesse. I don't think he's the starting quarterback on first team finesse because as of now, that's still Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford's probably made $120 million in the NFL and has only played about 19 games. It has been a wild career that he's put together. Carson Wentz might be first team all finesse, Rob. He might be first team.
He might be first team all finesse. There's so many quarterbacks I think are first team all finesse that it's really hard to, you know, throw him in that grouping. Back to my point about the Colts. I'm not quitting on the Colts yet for this reason. Let's say he's out for the first 5 weeks of the NFL season. All right, that's about 12 weeks from now. The Indianapolis Colts in 2018 with Jacoby Brissett, who's not good. He's not a good quarterback. They went 3-2. Frank Reich kept that team above water with no quarterback. He can't do that again until Carson Wentz rolls into town. I'm not quitting on them yet because I trust Frank Reich.
Text line 913-576-7610. Great. Now we get to listen to how the Chargers are a playoff lock from Chargers Dot. Thanks, Carson Wentz. This is great for the Los Angeles Chargers. One of the teams that I had to be a potential wild card team has now fallen my wayward son. Colts look like a very hot and heavy 7-10 bunch. An 8-9 bunch. You know who that opens the door for? That opens the door for Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers to now be a playoff team. Thanks for that text line. I was only thinking about the Tennessee Titans. How short-sighted of me. How dare I forget that this is now great for the Los Angeles Chargers as they look to make the playoffs this upcoming season. You're 100% right. I do want to point this out really quickly, Rob. And this next couple minutes is solely directed at you. You always tell me how you can't pay your running back, right? How the second contract never works. At some point today, I imagine we'll talk about Nick Chubb, who just signed a 3-year, $36 million deal with Cleveland that I actually think is a really good deal for both sides. You tell me how those contracts never work out for their team. Let's eliminate Patrick Mahomes from this conversation because Patrick Mahomes is the right answer to just about any NFL conversation. Quarterbacks who have gotten their second contract, Carson Wentz, not working out so far. Jared Goff, not working out so far. Deshaun Watson, he's asked for a trade in the second year of his new contract. Are we counting Kirk Cousins as a player who was on his rookie deal with Washington, became a free agent, got paid, contract's not working out? I assume Derek Carr has to be in this. Was on a rookie contract, got a massive increase in his second deal. It's not going so hot. It's not just a running back thing. Second contracts rarely work in the NFL because the whole purpose of the NFL is kind of like most businesses. It's to maximize you at your absolute most when you're the cheapest. And then when your contract explodes and balloons, it's typically much better for the person that receives the money than the person that is giving the money away. So if we played this second contract game, Rob, for other positions in the NFL outside of running back, I think we'd find pretty comparable results. Could we find some second contract running backs that have worked out for their team? Absolutely. Just like you could at quarterback. At some point, Aaron Rodgers got a second contract with his team. It's worked out great. Russell Wilson got a second contract from his team. Also worked out great. We can find a lot of these deals in which a team felt hell-bent that they got to pay their quarterback, that it has absolutely been disastrous for their organization. So this is not just a running back conversation. This is a second contract. Can you continue to stay healthy? Do you continue to play at that same level? This is an NFL question.
You're correct. This probably happens at every position. I'm sure if we pulled the wide receiver numbers, they look like this. Tight end numbers look like this. Left tackle numbers, they look like this. You're right. This does happen beyond outside running back, and I only yell and scream when it happens at running backs. That's a little unfair by me. But I think what this stat shows me more than anything is the scarcity of the position in the NFL and how GMs get terrified of bottoming out. And they will pay money to be 8-8 or better because that's how they keep their jobs. Because looking at the grouping of guys in the NFL who are on their second deal, Derek Carr. Does anyone think Derek Carr is the lead quarterback? No, not even Vegas. I think that. But what's the alternative to Derek Carr? It could be EJ Manuel. That'd be horrible. You have to sign him. Blake Bortles was the guy who got a second contract. They waited till the very end. Then he went to the AFC title game. What's the alternative? We have to pay him. Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is a unique example because he was great before he got hurt. But what's the alternative? We got to pay him. Jared Goff, what's the alternative? We got to pay him. Deshaun Watson's an outlier because his issues are all off the field. And when he's actually playing football, he's a good football player. Quarterback is a position that is held captive in the NFL by agents and players because GMs are so absolutely petrified for all the right reasons that if they don't re-sign the 16th best quarterback in the NFL or better, they'll bottom out with the 29th best quarterback in the NFL and they'll be on the unemployment line. So that's what this number showed me. I'd rather go down swinging with Jared Goff than bottom out and have Ryan Fitzpatrick and end up the assistant to someone GM than I am being GM.
I just look at quarterback contracts over the last 5 to 10 years, and you certainly can find examples of paying your quarterback and it working. But man, there's been some bad contracts given out. Matthew Stafford got all that money from the Detroit Lions. Now, that seems like a Lions problem. It hasn't really worked out for any player they've signed over the last, 30 years or so. But Matt Stafford played very few important and meaningful games under that contract with the Detroit Lions. They felt like they had to pay him. They paid their quarterback. It didn't go very well. He asked for a trade at the end. We'll see what he can do this upcoming season. You mentioned Derek Carr. You look at a lot of these contracts in which these teams end up giving this big money when it comes to a quarterback. Man, very few of them have really worked out. There was a time that now feels like an eternity ago in the NFL. Well, you know how we asked the question that if a new league just started up and they started up a new alien football league and said, all right, we're going to draft NFL players, who would the number one overall pick be? Before Patrick Mahomes, a lot of people would have answered Carson Wentz. Before Patrick Mahomes popped up and changed the face of the NFL, the answer on who would you take with the number one overall pick was Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz in 2017 completed 60% of his passes, threw for 3,000 yards, only in 13 games because of the injury, had 33 touchdown passes and 7 interceptions. I think that Wentz was in line to win NFL MVP that season, but he got hurt late in the year, so they gave it to Brady. But Wentz had a chance to win NFL MVP. Things have turned in Carson Wentz's career, almost overnight, and he has never, ever been the same quarterback post-injury as he was before. He was an MVP candidate. He was one of the 5 most valuable players in the NFL. Now he is a guy that teams can't question or have to hope and question on a week-to-week basis if he's a guy that's going to be healthy and available. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk Chiefs training camp, and there is a rookie that is absolutely showing out at camp. We'll tell you who. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6. Welcome back to The Drive.
You are listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. This just in from Bob Bowlsby, who is speaking with the media right now. Quote, "We believe the 8 of us staying together is the best approach in the near term." Kansas, I'm not one to give you guys advice frequently, but take this advice as free, great advice. If you got the opportunity to go to the Big Ten, take that opportunity immediately. Kansas, I don't know what conferences you've been talking to. Maybe you've been talking to a little Pac-12. You've been talking to a little Big Ten. You've been talking to a little ACC. I don't know all the inner workings of your organization. Kansas. I am here telling you that latching yourself on to the vision of Bob Bowlesby is a terrible decision. Kansas, you're going to have options. Oklahoma State, you're going to have options. Now, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but those two schools are going to have options. And honestly, Iowa State is probably going to have some options too, because Iowa's in there. They're already in the Big Ten. It would make a geographical fit. It's a great academic university. Iowa State might have some options. So Bob Bowlesby, you can sell this, hey, we got to stick together during this crisis. We have seen right now the only person that you need to be looking out for when it comes to conference realignment is yourself. Don't be looking out for your brother school, our sister school, our cousin school, our friend with benefit school, or whatever, however you guys are connected. You don't even be looking out for them. So Kansas, who's y'all new AD? Travis, what's his name? Travis Goff?
Travis Goff.
I'm here giving you free advice, my brother. If you know Travis Goff and you're listening to this show right now, if you get a message to him, play the last 90 seconds and send it to him. Do not care about K-State. Don't care about what you think is in the best interest of the Big 8 or Big 12 or whatever that conference is calling itself these days. If you get an opportunity to latch on to the very stable and solid Big 10, take it. That's my free advice to the University of Kansas. Rob, I don't know if you guys are listening to the free advice that I'm giving, but I'm not hitching myself to any vision attached to Bob Bowlesby. He has not shown me that he is a visionary in any sense. I just want to point out, he's the one that got you guys on ESPN Plus right now where you can barely watch your games because the ESPN app doesn't work. That's not the person I'd be trusting long-term with my university athletic department and its future. Take that advice for what you want. So I want to talk to you guys about Trey Smith. Trey Smith, rookie offensive lineman out of Tennessee, was a sixth-round draft pick. And our guy Matt Miller from thedraftscout.com said that he was his diamond in the rough. We've seen Lewis Riddick of ESPN also come out very much in support of Trey Smith. The Chiefs have also shown their support right now at training camp. Who's the one getting starting reps right now at right guard? It is not Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. It's Trey Smith. Here's what Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy had to say about their new right guard.
You know what? I'm very excited about those young guys. Coach Heck is a hell of a coach. He does a great job of communicating. He's done a great job over the years of teaching. He has a way with those guys. Those guys are doing a good job. Are they right where we need them to be right now? No, but that's what training camp is for. In fact, you know, as bad, you know, as you hate to see mistakes made, it's almost good because now you can go out there and take a look at it on tape and have those guys learn from their mistakes. So right now, these guys are doing a heck of a job. They're learning the strain to finish. And when it's all said and done, what Coach Heck is doing an outstanding job of collectively getting those guys to learn how to play together.
I would say, Rob, right now, the star of Chiefs training camp is right guard Trey Smith. I think there are some early contenders for the crown. Willie Gay has certainly got a lot of pub over the last couple of days. I saw today he had an interception of Patrick Mahomes. So I'm going out to training camp tomorrow, but I've been following it, and I saw he had an interception today. On the flip side, I would say Noah Gray is also turning into a star of training camp, certainly building a little bit of buzz and hype and reason to be excited about him heading into this season. Right now, the real star of training camp is Trey Smith. If he's going to end up being the starter, and we're talking about heading into this, I thought that right guard was their biggest position battle. At right tackle, I think they've pretty much told us that Rimmers is going to start, and if Rimmers isn't healthy, that Lucas Niang is in the prepping of being ready to step in that next man up philosophy. I think we have a pretty clear picture of what they're going to do at number two corner, what the plan's going to be with Snead playing on the inside, and you've got Hughes and Baker as your primary outside corners. Number two wide receiver, I think we also know what the plan is. Right guard was sort of that position that was up for grabs, that position that was up in the air. I think Trey Smith, at least the early returns and the early reports, would lead us to believe that he is as advertised. He's probably a guy who only fell because of the physical and the injury history, and he's probably a second or third round pick. He's making great impressions. Every day I pop up on Twitter, I see a pancake block coming from the young fella, and he's having a lot of success. Rob, I would say the early star of Chiefs training camp is right guard Trey Smith.
Yeah, he's been the story, but I think in that cut, I know that Bienemy's talking about the entire offensive line. I think he has stood out as like a positive of the story. I think the fact that there are basically three rookies getting a lot of run on the line is the story. Because historically, Reed doesn't trust three or four rookies to start at any position. And now the offensive line going into 2020 is going to have basically the right 21-1, excuse me, the right side be rookies. Yes, it's great. Trey Smith has looked great. It's great that Lucas Niang has looked great. Creed Humphrey, we both believe, is going to be a really good player. I think the biggest story is not just Trey Smith, but the whole right side of the offensive line being essentially rookies.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I've always thought that we assumed that Creed Humphrey was going to start for this team. It's certainly a story that they're starting a rookie at center, but once they made the investment that they did in the draft for Creed Humphrey, I always sort of looked at that as being the conclusion, so I'm not really surprised that he's starting. At least day one, Lucas Niang was not the starting right tackle. I would have been surprised if he was the starting right tackle. Rimmers was the starter. There was an early injury. They're playing it cautious. At this point, I think you know what kind of player Mike Rimmers is, so it's good to kind of get Lucas Niang that early work, running with the ones and being able to compete at that level. I was still stunned that Trey Smith, at least right now, tomorrow if the Chiefs had a game, I understand there's still a month left until the start of the season. If the Chiefs had a game, their sixth round draft pick would be their starting right guard. I'm surprised by that. I thought it was going to be Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. There was a time we thought it was potentially going to be Kyle Long, but he had the injury. I would say right now, the odds on favorite, something would have to go wrong or an injury would have to happen. But I think you can pencil in. I think you can pencil in Trey Smith to be the starting right guard for this team week one against Cleveland, barring any setback or injury.
I 100% agree. I mean, I don't think you start Trey Smith on day one of camp thinking by the end of camp, he will have played himself out of the position. I think we talked about this Pete last week too. I was kind of surprised they had him day one as the starter. But you're right. If you're going to be July 27th starter, barring injury or some cataclysmic collapse as far as ability, he's definitely your week one starter, which means we at least now have one locked-in rookie on the Chiefs offensive line for 2021.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews. Denny Matthews will be on the show coming up at 3 o'clock. As always, our coverage of Chiefs training camp on 610 Sports Radio is presented by Blue KC. Live healthy with Blue KC. Rob, let's get to something good and something bad from the weekend.
Something good.
Now, every single day you turn up, there is a new streaming service that pops up and is fighting for your disposable entertainment dollar. There's Hulu, there's Netflix, there's Tubi, there's Paramount Plus, there's Disney Plus, there's Hulu Live, YouTube TV. There's so much stuff they're asking you to sign up for. I'm telling you to allocate $5 for one thing. Peacock. I'm not telling you to get Peacock because of even the Olympics on there right now. I'm telling you to get Peacock because there is a highlight SportsCenter style show with Kevin Hart and Snoop Dogg. Rob, I'm hooked. This is what I've been needing. What I've been needing in my life is Snoop Dogg breaking down synchronized diving. What I needed was Snoop Dogg giving me his thoughts and analysis on equestrian. What I needed was Snoop Dogg interviewing Olympic-level athletes. I watched this interview with Snoop. He was interviewing this kid from, I think he was from Texas, and he was a triple jumper. Fantastic interview. I'm giving my something good to Olympic highlights with Kevin Hart and Snoop Dogg. Pay the $5 on Peacock, or you can watch clips of it on YouTube right now. That's what I'm giving my something good to.
I'm going to give my something good to the United States men's national team. They went out last night playing a road game in Las Vegas against Mexico and won the Gold Cup. Shout out to Gianluca Busio. He played well coming off the bench late in that match to come in and push them to a win. I have been very hard on the Federation, very hard on Greg Berhalter, very hard on everyone associated with U.S. soccer because it was a comedy of errors for a long time that led to a failure in 2018. But you know what? In 2021, they had an excellent summer. They went out and won League of Nations. There's a cup. Then with their C squad, they went out and won the Gold Cup over Mexico's mostly A squad. Shout out to the men's national team. And for those keeping track at home, that's two cups in CONCACAF for them this year and none for Mexico, which means we get to talk about the famous scoreline, Dos Acero. My good weekend goes to the men's national team.
Okay, I have another thing thing that I want to incorporate in my good weekend, but I have a question. Bro, how often does the United States play Mexico in soccer? Goodness gracious. They played them 2 weeks ago. Did they not? I know I'm not crazy.
It was like a month and a half ago. Month and a half? It was like June. They played them in June. Like June of this year, like middle of June they played them. That's more than 2 weeks.
I know I am not the biggest soccer fan in the world, and this is not me poking fun at soccer. They just played them 6 weeks ago. Now they're playing them again for the cup? Are they going to play them again this year? I guarantee, I don't know anything about this. I assure you that the United States is going to play Mexico in like October or November. I can tell you what's going to happen. It's going to be a big college football weekend, and then at around 9 p.m., everybody's going to turn over to USA Mexico. I honest to God don't know that. Am I right?
There is a qualifying game for the World Cup like November of this year. Yeah.
Someone said, I feel like we just had this conversation because they keep playing each other. There has to be somebody else the United States can play. There has to be.
It's like this.
All these countries are in the world. They just keep playing Mexico. All these countries. I'm watching the Olympics every day when I get home. There's countries I've never heard of before. Why can't the USA just schedule them for an exhibition? They can't just play them for no reason?
You know what? I'll make the analogy. This is a good analogy. Imagine the United States men's soccer team is basically in a conference. The CONCACAF is their conference. We'll call it the Big 12 because there's like eight countries. You can play out-of-conference games, but it's rare. You don't play UCLA three or four times a year. You play Iowa State two times a year in basketball. That's what's happening with U.S. men's soccer. They play Mexico so often because they're basically in the same conference, and you play conference opponents more often than you play non-con opponents. So, yes, you could venture out and play
one-off. How many teams are in this conference? Five?
There's I think it's like, well, it's technically like, there's a lot, but like the ones that make the qualifying, it's called, there's eight. There's eight that make it, called the octagonal.
Oh my, the what?
The eight teams trying to qualify.
You made that word up.
100% what it's called, the octagonal.
You soccer people call it that.
It used to be the hexagon. We called it the hex, but now it's the octagon.
The octagonical? What is it called? I've never heard that word before. I learned a word today.
There you go. There it is. It used to be the hex, but then it jumped up to eight.
I want to give another good weekend to myself. I found a Limit Date on YouTube, and that's all I can watch right now. I found a YouTube channel with a Limit Date. Do you remember that show, Change of Heart?
Is that the one where like you walk up and you get a dollar for every minute you're on the date?
No, that's Next. The show you're thinking of is Next. A Limit Date was where you would start the date with four people, and then at the end of every round, you would just eliminate a person until you pick the final person to go on a date with. I absolutely love Eliminate Television. Television peaked when after the news, you could watch these three shows. Blind Date, Eliminate, and Fifth Wheel. Television was at its absolute height. It's been downhill ever since. You guys are watching Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad and Sons of Anarchy. No, give me back the television of my youth. Blind Date, Eliminate, and Fifth Wheel. Television has never been better. It was not all good this weekend, Rob. There certainly was some bad. Rob, hit my something bad.
Something bad.
I'm going to give my something bad to the UFC. I'm giving it to the UFC because I watched a video this weekend. It was a young lady. Her name is Cheyenne Bies. She was talking about how she won the $50,000 bonus, how this was a life-changing amount of money. Sure, if you give anybody $50,000, that is a life-changing amount of money. And she went on to tell this very passionate story about how her account was negative and she's been broke her entire life because she chose to be a part of the UFC. And I saw a tweet that was breaking down the cash breakdowns of sports. So in the NBA, the players and the owners have a 50-50 split of revenue. In the NFL, the players and the owners have a 51-49.5% breakdown of the revenue. Sure, the owners put up the money, so they are going to take, so in the NFL sense, they take more of the profits, but the profits are also distributed fairly amongst the workforce. You know what it was for the UFC, Rob? 16% of the revenue that is generated by the UFC goes back in the hands of the athletes. So this might be one of those feel-good stories that people are applauding about this girl, life-changing amount of $50,000. She has chosen to risk her life for Dana White and the UFC. And the fact that her account was in the red and she was getting overdraft fees That should be a shame on the sport, that if you make it to this level of UFC and this level of competitive MMA fighting, you should never be in this situation. I give him my bad weekend to the UFC, because you're not spinning this as some feel-good story when a girl is up there fighting for a life and she's telling me how broke she is. I'm giving my bad weekend to Dana White.
I'm going to give my bad weekend to the Cleveland Browns. Now, Friday talked about how they're a lock to make the playoffs, and I spoke very highly of how they've come out of the fog of terribleness is Cleveland, and they seem to be making good decisions over there. They have a good coach, they have a good enough quarterback, and they have a team that I think can compete this year. But you know what they did this weekend? They undid all the compliments I gave them. They went out and they gave a running back a second contract. Fools! Absolute fools! If there's one team that should know how foolish it is, it's the Browns. They had a free agent running back and a second round running back, and they built a two-headed monster. But now, for some reason, they've given one of them money. The money itself isn't that big, but you paid your running back before your quarterback in 2021? What are you doing? And Kevin Stefanski comes off that Gary Kubiak zone running tree. You know how many just other random guys they made stars in Denver?
A bunch.
The Mike Bells, Alondis Garys, those dudes? But no, you're going to go out and pay Nick Chubb. Congrats on going back to mediocrity, Cleveland. You're dumb for paying a running back.
Alondis Garys, definitely. Remember Mike Anderson? Mike Anderson might be peak random Broncos running back.
Mike Bell, too?
He might be peak. Alondis Garys. What was it? Quentin Griffin? I think he was out of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I remember one game he cooked the Chiefs. I don't remember how many yards he ran for, but I'm fairly certain there was a game where Quentin Griffin absolutely barbecued the Kansas City Chiefs. I feel pretty confident in that. Text line, tell me if I'm wrong here, but I feel pretty good that Quentin Griffin, when he was the Broncos running back, absolutely cooked the Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, I feel like every time the Chiefs played the Shanahan Broncos, it was random running back cooks Chiefs, and then on some big third and seven, they ran naked boot, and every time the D-end would just crash down, and there's Jake Plummer jogging for eight. It felt like a nightmare for a long time for Chiefs fans.
I'm sitting here trying to find the numbers for Quentin Griffin. Oh, I found it. So Quentin Griffin, just listen to this. Quentin Griffin ran for 656 yards in his NFL career. He had one game against the Chiefs. 23 carries, 156 yards, and two touchdowns. That's nuts. 156 yards and two touchdowns? He averaged 6.7 yards per carry. I knew I wasn't crazy. I knew there was a game in which Quentin Griffin absolutely cooked the Chiefs. Somebody said no Sean Moreno, too. No Sean Moreno used to give the Chiefs hell, too. Used to absolutely give the Chiefs hell. There's been a lot of random Broncos running backs who have ran absolutely through the Chiefs defense over the years. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are very happy and honored to be joined by the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews. We'll talk to Denny Matthews about Danny Duffy being traded, Jorge Soler being traded, and we'll also get his thoughts on what Dayton Moore had to say earlier on Fesco in the Morning. Denny Matthews next. Stick around. It's a drive.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.